A few weeks ago, I was teaching on holiness. You know, it's the mark of true Christian living. You know, we read a scripture in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, where Peter's writing and he quotes the Old Testament. He quotes a scripture in Leviticus. And I'll read those two verses. It's verses 15 and 16. It says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." You know what? In this letter, what Peter was he's saying is he's just been talking about not conforming to the way of the world, not going chasing after our lusts and things that we used to chase after before we were saved. You know, not going back to the old life and, you know, trying to find satisfaction there. But he says, look, he says, what the command is from God is, he wants you to be holy in all your conduct. Now, we saw that holy means to be set apart. It means to be separated and to be devoted to God. And we're told to be holy in all our conduct because it's written in the scriptures, it's written in, it was a part of the law that God gave to his people. He told them to be holy because he is holy. And what we've seen, or what we saw of the couple of weeks that we did a few weeks ago, is one that holiness is the standard that God sets. He's not going to come down to our level. He did once, and he was crucified. He became a man. But he's not going to come down to us to make us feel good. You know, he wants us to rise in faith, to come up to his level. And God's always calling us up to the level he's at. He's calling us to come higher. He's calling us to go on, to go forward. He's never telling us to go back. In actual fact, we're commanded not to go back. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, Jesus said, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, we're going to be fit for God's kingdom, we've got to go forward, we've got to come up, we've got to go higher. And God wants us to be holy, for I am holy, because he is holy. And that's his standard. And in the first verse study, we saw that, you know, this is a twofold thing. One, holiness is something that, in one sense, it's got nothing to do with us, because it's a work of God's grace. When Jesus died on the cross, and we'll see that a little bit tonight. When Jesus died on the cross, you know, he made us holy. His blood makes us holy. His blood cleanses us. His blood purifies. His blood sanctifies us. You know, his blood makes us righteous, is another word we use. So it's everything to do with him. All we've had to do is believe on him and receive it. And there's nothing else that we've had to do to attain to that holiness, because it's a work of God's grace. But then on the other side of the coin is there's the ongoing work in our lives. You know, yes, we're saved, we've been made holy, but we're still, I'm going to use the word, we're still trapped in this body. And there's coming a day when we're going to be rid of this body. You know, we're going to receive a new body, a glorified body. But until that time, we're trapped in a fleshly body which has desires, and it wants to go its own way, and it wants to follow the ways of the world. So there's that ongoing work that we have to look to, and we have to do to crucify ourselves, to put to death our members. And if we see it all through the scriptures, that we have to see that we are living righteously, that we are living holy lives, that we are living according to the Word of God, that there's things that we need to do. We need to, you just got to read some of the writings of Paul. You'll see that he tells us to put off the works of the flesh, you know, put off all these old things, put off the old man, you know, to take up the armour of God, to live the way that God has commanded us to live. You know, that the way we live is we should come up to the standard of God. You know, one of the scriptures in Romans tells us that we've all sinned and we've come short of the glory. I think another translation puts up, we've come short of the standard. You know, we've fallen short because of sin. And God wants us, he's calling us higher, he's calling us up, he's calling us to a new level of holiness. You know, holiness is the mark of true Christian living. Because when we live in holy life, it's evident through everything that we do. But what we're going to look at tonight is the greatest example we can have in the scriptures. Here we can look at men like Moses and Abraham, and we could look at the Apostle Paul, but there's no greater example than Jesus himself. So we're going to spend a few moments tonight just looking at Jesus' example, or the example of Jesus as someone that lived a holy life. Now I think we don't really need to say it, so I think it goes without saying, but we know that Jesus lived a life without sin. Now, he never sinned. He was tempted just the same way that we're tempted. You know, he had all the same frustrations and the same heartaches and things and pressures that we face. But he lived a life without sin. He never gave in. He never yielded to it. You know, he lived in perfect holiness. He was righteous in all his ways. And one of the things we see in the life of Jesus, I'm going to read two scriptures in John's Gospel. One in chapter 5 and one in chapter 8. In chapter 5 it's verse 19. And in chapter 8 it's verse 29. And they say similar things. So John 5 verse 19 says this: Jesus answered and said to them, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." And then in John's Gospel chapter 8 verse 29, Jesus said, it says, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." You know, Jesus took as his example his Father. He said that he only did and he only said the things that his Father said and his Father did. You know, God is... We've read it in Peter, and Peter quotes Leviticus. God says, "I am holy." So Jesus saying, "I only do the things, I'm following my Father, I'm following my Father's footsteps, I'm imitating my Father, I'm doing what my Father does, and I'm only doing what my Father does." You know, Jesus lived like his Father in all his dealings. He was totally just. He never showed favoritism. He didn't retaliate. But he lived a life of love. He lived holy. He lived righteously, justly. He was merciful, full of compassion. He was just like his Father. Everything his Father did, Jesus did. What he saw his Father do, what he heard his Father say, Jesus said, and Jesus did. You know, so when we look at Jesus, we're looking at the Father. You know, when we see Jesus, we're seeing God the Father. Because Jesus is... I was going to say this, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but Jesus is like a carbon copy of his Father. You know, in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter of Hebrews, verse 3, it's talking about Jesus, because in verse 2 it talks about the Son, who was appointed heir of all things. And it says in verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory, that's the Father's glory, the brightness of the Father's glory, and the express image of the Father's person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. They're talking of, they're the writer to the Hebrews, I believe it's the Apostle Paul. He writes about Jesus, and he says he is the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the express image of the Father's person. You know, that that word there, brightness, really means radiance. Jesus radiated the Father. He radiated God. You know, he was the reflection, is another word we can use, the reflection of God on the earth. Whenever people looked at Jesus, they saw the Father. Actually, Jesus said that himself. He says, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. No, because Jesus only did. He followed his Father's example. You know, so we follow his example because he's a perfect example for us. Now, while we're in Hebrews, we'll go to chapter 7. We touched on this a few weeks ago when we were looking at Jesus being the high priest. But in verse 27 it says, it's talking about the priestly ministry of Jesus. And it says here in verse 26 and verse 27, it says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. He does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. You know, Jesus, it says there of Jesus, he was holy. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate. That's what the word holy means, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Let me just read this verse again, talking about the priestly ministry of Jesus in chapter 4 of Hebrews. It says this, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know, there, I've already sort of touched that. You know, Jesus was without sin. You know, he was tempted in all points, like we are, but he never yielded to that temptation. He never sinned. He remained holy. You know, what we see, the character of Jesus is holiness, one of holiness. You know, Jesus lived up to that standard that God expected. You know, and the Bible here makes it clear that our high priest, Jesus, is holy. You know, he's fitting for us to be a high priest because he's holy. You know, he's harmless, he's undefiled, and he's separate from sinners. Not that there's so many scriptures tonight to turn to, but there's still a few. In 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, again, this chapter finishes up by saying that, telling us that Jesus went to the cross, that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Why did he bear our sins? Why did he do that? It's because he was qualified to do it, because he was pure, he was holy. And that's what Peter's writing here in the early few verses, starting at verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." So we're to follow his steps. We're to follow his example. He is our example of holiness. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. You know, so there we see the whole character of Jesus, the whole life of Jesus, was that life of holiness. You know, he let God lead him. He followed the Father's example. He let the Holy Spirit reveal to him the way to live. And he made right choices, right decisions. You know, you see it very often in the scriptures. There's particularly the one where they brought the woman that was caught in adultery and threw her down at Jesus' feet. And they're trying to get him, they're trying to trap him and get him to pass judgment and condemnation on that woman. But we see Jesus said nothing. He didn't respond to their accusations. Not straight away. Yeah. The scripture tells us that he bent down and he wrote in the sand. You know, while he was writing in the sand, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, giving him the instruction how he should respond in that situation. Not to retaliate, not to say, yes, go ahead and stone the woman. You know, yes, she sinned, she deserves to die. Because that's what Moses commanded in the law. But after he had spent those few minutes in stillness, in quietness, just, you know, almost like a child, you know, just drawing in the sand, he looked at those that were accusing him and said, "Let him that's without sin cast the first stone. Let the one who has lived the righteous life, the one who is able to pass judgment, is the one that's never sinned." And so he says, "That person, cast the first stone." Because they realized none of them came up to the standard. None of them were living the lives that they should be living. So they all left. You know, Jesus was like that all the way through his ministry. He didn't retaliate even when Pilate had him up on before him, was accusing him. They brought in the people to make false accusations. He didn't retaliate. He didn't answer back. He just waited for the right moment, and then he spoke what the Father or the Holy Spirit would have shown him and revealed to him. He only did what his Father told him to do. One thing we do see in the scriptures is that holiness, or another word we often use, is the word sanctification. It's Jesus' desire for his people. We see that particularly in his prayer that he prayed just before he was arrested. We read that in John 17. Just before Jesus was arrested, before they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, they'd spent that night having what we know as the Last Supper, that Passover meal. It was at that meal where Jesus took the bread and the wine, and he said, "Look, this bread's going to represent my body, this blood is this cup is my blood. And they shared together, they did a lot of things on that night. If you take the various gospels, you know, Jesus took a towel and washed his disciples' feet. You know, they shared that that intimate moment. They ate together. They sung hymns together. And then Jesus prayed. And we have this prayer recorded here in John 17. And what he prays in John 17, he says, look, he says, this is verse 15. He says, I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He's talking about his disciples and those that will believe on him after the disciples have gone. So he's praying for you and me. This is a prayer. And when he was praying this prayer, you and me were on his heart and mind. Because he was praying for those that he was with, his disciples, and he was praying for those that will believe because of the word that his disciples will preach. And he says, I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he prays this for us. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And sanctify, make them holy by your word, by the word of your truth. You know, that's his heart, that's his desire, that we are holy, that we live holy lives. Now, he knows it's not easy, which is why he prayed for us. He knows that we're in a world that evil is rampant. You know, and he said, I don't want you to take them out. Don't take them out of the world, but, you know, do something while they're in the world. You know, protect them. Keep them from the evil one. You know, sanctify them. Set them apart. You know, that they'll be separate from the rest of the world. You know, he's praised God's blessing upon his people. And then the apostle writes in... This is again the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Along similar lines, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 3. Well, let me just read verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. So he spent time in chapter 3 telling us how we should conduct ourselves, how we should walk. And he says that he wants us to abound more and more in it, that we receive the word that we've heard on how we should walk and how we should please God. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. He says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is God's will for you, that you be sanctified, that you be holy, that you be set apart. God's will for you. And that's Jesus' will for us. Jesus' desire for us is that we are holy. We are set apart. Now, we've already touched on it a little bit, but we're made holy by the blood of Jesus. And that's a work of grace. But here the scriptures we've been looking at here show us that this is something that we should be doing. You know, we should be looking after our walk with God. God will give us the grace we need. But we've got to look after our walk with God, and we've got to protect it, and we've got to guard it. Because this is what God wants for us, to bring us on. You know, we'll just read these verses, and I was just going to skip over them because we've already touched on it. But in Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says that, again, he's talking about sacrifices and offerings, mainly the animal sacrifice and the blood sacrifice. And it said that these things have been done away with because of the new covenant, and we did that in great depth a few weeks back when we were looking at the priestly ministry of Jesus. But it says here, by God's will, by the will of Jesus, verse 10, says, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You know, we've been sanctified through the blood of Jesus. You know, Jesus' blood brought that into effect in our lives. And there's other scriptures which we won't take the time to read tonight, but you know, we see that what Jesus did for us affected holiness in us. Now we should follow the example of Jesus, and that's where we began. And I just want to close with a couple of scriptures tonight. You know, I've got quite a few scriptures written down here, but if you want them, you can take them and look them up. But just want to finish by reading a couple of them to show you where we started. We're going to finish where we started, about following the example. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So if we say we're Christians, we should walk, we should live the way Jesus lived. We should live the way the Father wants us to live. That's what he's saying. Look, we've got to... somebody put it like this. I think it went something like... If you're going to talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. If you're going to say that you're a Christian, you've got to live like a Christian. You can't call yourself a Christian and live like the devil. You've got to live like Jesus lived, because we're named after him. We are Christ's ones. That's what it means. Christian, Christ's ones. So if we're going to say we're a Christian, let's walk like Jesus walked. Let's live our lives like Jesus lived. Let's follow his example. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 13. And again, verse 15. Again, this is the night. We've gone back to the night where Jesus was arrested, the night of the Passover meal. This is just after he'd washed the disciples' feet. And he said, I have given, this is verse 15, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. You know, you should do as I have done to you. Now he was talking, showing his disciples that they should sort of serve one another. But again, he's telling us to do as he has done. Follow his example. And Jesus used that in his word to them. You know, this is an example that we should follow. And let's just have a quotation from the Apostle. We've read the Apostle John. We've read the words of Jesus. Now let's see what Paul has to say, and we'll finish it there. Here he's in the book of Philippians chapter 2, and again we read this quite frequently, and we quote this chapter quite frequently, because it's this same passage where it says that God has highly exalted the name of Jesus and given him a name which is above every name. But here in verse 5, he tells us, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. In other words, you know, think the same way Jesus thought. You know, follow his example. You know, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, it says. But he came, he took on the form of a bondservant. He laid aside his reputation. He came in the likeness of men. And he was found in appearance as a man. And that's where it goes on. It says he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him. Now if we follow the example of Jesus, you know, God will also exalt us. Because that's the standard God's looking for, and he's trying to bring us on. You know, that's what we started off saying, that God's standard is holiness. He wants to bring us up to his level. You know, God will exalt us if we take Jesus out and we live our lives the way Jesus lived. Let's just finish with the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. This is a great scripture to finish with. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Mimic God. Imitate God. Copy God. Do whatever God does. Because that's what Jesus did. And he is our example. And if we want to be holy, God said, God declared it to Moses. Peter quoted it. He says, be holy for I am holy. And that's who we want to be like. We want to be like God. We want to follow his example. If he's holy, we want to be holy as well. He's righteous, well, we want to be righteous. He's just, well, we should want to be just in all our dealings. You know, he's merciful, we should be merciful. He's forgiving, so should we be. You know, God is love. Well, that's the way we should live, lives of love. You know, we should mimic God, be imitators of God. You know, if we take Jesus as our example, we know Jesus imitated his Father. So when we look at Jesus, we look at the Father. So we can say, yeah, we want to be imitators of God. If we want to be imitators of God, we just follow Jesus, because he's our example. Amen. Amen.